Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. This program is devoted to those who know that the world's political, religious, media, military, and economic institutions are the problem. They are not the solution. We are not going to be able to fix the ails of our planet by simply arranging those who sit in seats of power. Our mission, therefore, is to look behind the headlines, to know who is perpetrating the many crimes that are besieging the planet, because over the next 15 years, they're going to profoundly change the world as we know it. As a result, in our second hour, we're going to use evidence and reason to explore the Torah, because its covenant provides the only reliable answer. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, it's toll-free. It's 877-300-7645. Before we go to the news this morning, we have Larry calling in from Florida. I'd love to hear what my good friend Larry has to say. Morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Yeah.
I was going to move directly to an issue that actually appeared last week, but we've had so many interruptions in the news, I've postponed it. This is probably an issue that will resonate with you. You know, House Republicans rallied around a $85 billion deal. It was stated as an $85 billion deal to avert another government shutdown, brushing off complaints from their right wing that the effort would trade immediate spending cuts for less certain long-term savings. There was no savings in the deal. The sequester savings of $85 billion was simply erased, and the only cuts that are proposed to government spending in the compromise bill are for the years 2020 through 2023.
So, it's pretty much over by then. So.
Oh, my yeah. God. Then it goes on to say that the moment seemed to mark a – this is from, of course, the Washington Post. The moment seemed to mark a potentially significant shift by House Republicans away from the uncompromising confrontation of recent years and toward a determined era of more functional governance. So if you build your national debt over a 30-year period from effectively $1 trillion to $17 trillion. That's more functional government. If you had a business and you increased your debt in that business by $16 trillion over a period of time, and rather than paying off debt, rather than building up equity, you went in the other way and became a deadbeat debtor. That would be functional. Yeah, so the journalists who, of course, have never taken an economic class, who have never run a business in their lives, who have no idea what the free enterprise system is all about, have determined that more functional governance is going bankrupt.
Well,
and if you're opposed to that, you're a right-wing wacko.
Well, I think a lot of what they do, too. Yeah, I've taken economic classes in college, and I have to tell you, they just like to use a lot of theory and phraseology, and they try to make it all look so complex, when the fact is, it really isn't. You know,
well,
you can.
The basics are not complex. Their basics are fairly simple. When you have either the free enterprise system,
you're talking about
or,
in reality. You're not talking
right,
about
right,
it
in, right.
In right. This
free enterprise system, which is basically you allow individuals the opportunity to build businesses that collectively, when left alone, when not overly regulated or overly taxed, when not overly supported by the government, create economic opportunity and growth for everyone, because the individual is far better prepared to make decisions regarding their own enterprise than as any national public official. Then you have the three top-down control systems, which are communism, socialism, and fascism, where government bureaucrats, government ideologues make all economic decisions, and they are foisted upon the public who effectively works as serfs or slaves. Those are the basic
steal
two.
Money.
Right, right. Those are the basic two concepts. And while that is relatively simple, it's never taught that way in school. Now, as it relates to economic theory, that is fairly complicated. In fact, there are so many issues related to fiat currency that it is difficult to understand. The other things that are difficult to understand is the Mandrake formulas and leveraged lending, and how a bank can take your deposit and loan out 10 times more money than they have in assets.
That's pretty difficult to understand, isn't it? Yeah,
And so the rules that are being imposed on the financial system, where money, rather than being an asset, is a liability. It's a promissory note. Look at your dollar bill. It's a Federal Reserve note. It's a liability. It's not an asset. When you try to understand those mechanisms, they are reasonably complicated. The Laffer curve, for example, is not very complicated, though. That gets back to a very simple idea, which is if you undertax a group of people, you bring in less revenue than is optimal. And if you overtax a group of people, you bring in less revenue than is optimal, because those people are disincentivized from being productive.
Production.
Right. And if you in America today, we're guilty on both sides, because 50% of Americans are essentially untaxed at a federal level. And about 10% of Americans are so grossly overtaxed, they're ceasing to be productive because there's no incentive to be productive. And so the Laffer curve says when you do that, it's simple.
That any of us will ever pay is the tax and the devaluation of the dollar, because that destroys all your savings and future income.
Yeah, and they've devalued the dollar by about 98% since the formation of the Federal Reserve and this concept of fiat money. Fiat money is a much newer concept than is the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve is 100 years old. But over the course of the 100 years, the Federal Reserve has destroyed the value of the U.S. currency by 98%. And we went through a whole meeting with Craig Smith, going through putting him as the head potentate of an island state, and how creating money after people came in to make an investment in his kingdom actually destroyed the wealth of everyone and ultimately destroyed his kingdom. So in very simple terms, which were easy to understand. Of course, we don't teach that in school, and I don't think that, personally, I don't think you ought to vote in a country where prosperity and the functionality of the country is driven entirely by economics, as it is in America. I mean, if you continue to pass laws that make it impossible for Americans to manufacture products, as we are doing as a nation, you destroy the nation. And you ought not vote if, A, you're a net beneficiary of government handouts, as opposed to a contributor to the system, and, B, if you do not know and understand the primary issues surrounding both national and global, as well as business and corporate economics. You really have no business voting if you do not understand those things. Now, unfortunately, if you do understand those things, you won't vote, because you realize that the clowns that you have the opportunity to vote for are complete nincompoops, as are the media individuals that report on them, that functional governance is taking the country to a position of bankruptcy.
Well, first of all, the voting mechanisms are completely contrived. I mean, you have what they call a debate, and these will be well monitored. They will be protected. The only thing you get in a debate format today is stylistics. You know, mm-hmm. who has the better haircut? Who came on with the better line? Who's got the better smile? Who got the better jab in? And then the media will actually play this off like there was really a debate.
But the reason they can't have a real debate, and this is my experience when I was debating Muslims, a real debate is not possible unless two things profoundly change. One is that the host of the debate has to know and have the participants adhere to debate rules and call them when they commit a logical fallacy. There is no host as a national figure for a debate, which is a form of lying, that is capable of doing that. So one of the two are both of the debate participants. We'll just engage in a whole string of rational fallacies, from red herring to straw man to ad hominem arguments, and they will lose a point and simply move on to the next as if losing a point didn't matter. Now, the second issue is, and this is a far bigger issue, the average citizen of the world, and we have people, as we know, all over the world that listen to this program, and we're a little America myopic, but in America, we see the rest of the world as well. The population has been dumbed down. The educational system, based upon political correctness, on the socialist secular humanism, has dumbed people down so that they're no longer nearly as thoughtful as they once were. You know, information is ubiquitous, but understanding is so rare that the combination of a lack of knowledge and a lack of understanding in the audience for debates means that if you actually win a debate on evidence and reason, there is almost no one in your audience that will recognize the debate as having been won on the basis of debate logistics. And what you'll find is that because most people are both ignorant and irrational, I know those sound like pejorative terms, but they do not know and they do not understand that it's the reason that style matters in these quote-unquote debates as opposed to substance. The general population does not understand the major events that are influencing our world, whether they be the Islam, religion in general, with Christianity, whether it be economics, both global, national, and local, doesn't matter the issue. Even militarism. The average American is ignorant and irrational, and therefore isn't a valid judge. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. This article from the Washington Post goes on to say, after multiple standoffs and threatened defaults and one actual shutdown, polls show that the Republican brand has been badly damaged among voters. And even some of the most conservative Republicans say they were ready for a breather. Now, I made a comment on the way out that I know is offensive to many, that the majority of Americans are ignorant and irrational. Well,
it's true.
If in fact the majority of voters show that the Republican brand has been damaged among voters for their most recent stand against Obamacare, and that was the issue. They wanted to defund Obamacare, and that's the reason that they went to the mat. And so if the Republican brand has lost credibility with voters because they stood up against what is the single most damaging piece of legislation for America, economically, politically, from a liberty point of view, and probably maybe ever written, and that they are going to be discredited because they stood up against this incredibly damaging piece of legislation, then, in fact, wear your badge, America. The majority of Americans, therefore, are either ignorant or they're irrational or both. Now, let's speak to this for a moment. It is an enormous tax increase perpetrated by the government. Not only are there 12 taxes, new taxes associated with Obamacare, many of them making healthcare more expensive. But the government mandate that you can only have the healthcare that the government mandates, that the government chooses for you, where, as I said, just over this weekend, we dealt with the fact that my son's healthcare coverage was canceled, and the closest options we could find to what he had chosen, the premiums were three times greater, going from $100 to $300 a month. The deductible was three times greater, going from $500 to $1,500 a year. And there was no benefit to the added coverage because the things that was mandated that he had to have covered, he will never use.
You mean to the added cost? And, of course, he's not going to use maternity. I mean,
no, he's not going to use drug intervention. He's not going to use the things that they are mandating that everybody pay for. But the big deal about Obamacare is it's designed so that the people who are responsible on their behavior and their health, who do not have diabetes because they're not grotesquely overweight and inactive. Now, I know that there's possibility of getting diabetes and being fit, but that's not the norm. And I understand that it's possible to get AIDS and HIV without using intravenous drugs and without homosexual sex, but it's less common. But this plan is designed so that those who have been irresponsible, get health care at a rate that is hugely less than what their choices would have cost them otherwise, while people who have been responsible and are healthy pay much more. In fact, pay three times more and have no option. You know, the government is dictating, you will either do this or we're going to fine you. It's a system that imposes fascist controls. So it's the free enterprise system providing the health care, providing the insurance, but totally and completely controlled by government and government bureaucrats telling the people what they can have, telling the companies what they can offer. And all of this because 10% of Americans do not have health insurance. And all they had to do for the 10% is provide a means within communities for hospitals to take care of emergencies. You know, if you don't have health care, you ought not expect other people to provide you with a heart bypass operation or replacement.
Look, they already had that. Organ. It was called Medicaid. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
No matter what the emergency, if somebody went to a hospital, and you know, I'm 55 years old, I've never seen anybody turned down at a hospital. Have you?
No.
I've never even heard of it.
But now, you know, you don't pay for your own health care coverage, and you're going to get top-end Cadillac Premier coverage at the expense of others. It is from each according to their ability, to each according to their, we won't say need, we're going to say cravings. It's a morally bankrupt country. And a country where doing the right thing now damages one's brand. Returning to Shattering This, we're having a discussion on the idiocy of both those who are elected and those who elect them. When John Boehner briefly lashed out a week ago Wednesday at conservative groups, he's lashed out at the Tea Party. Might as well call them who he was specifically attacking. That he had been agitating against the bipartisan bill. It turns out he had more to say, much more to say. Now he was just says, I, you know, the first comment was, I don't give a darn what the Tea Party says, you know. But he called them ridiculous, and he you know referred to them as using the American people. So. This is what he had to say after he had more time to think about it. Now, mind you, I'm not, as Larry, as you know, I am not political. I am equally opposed to both political parties.
You like to expose the idea that the voting matrix is an act. and you should, because
right.
it is.
Right, so complete waste of time. And in fact, it's worse than that. You're ascribing your name and your vote to evil. Whether or not you're trying to choose the lesser of two evils, you're still associating with evil when you participate in the political process in America and probably in most countries around the world. So I do not participate, and my mission here on the first hour of the show is to condemn both sides, to expose them for what they are, the frauds that they are. So I am not an advocate of the Tea Party. However, the Tea Party was right when it comes to Obamacare. And their campaign against Obamacare was not the broken website. The broken website spending $700 billion, or $700 million, I should say, on a website that doesn't work was irrelevant. What's relevant?
I have four websites, and I cannot picture how a person could spend that kind of money.
My best friend is one of the world's premier web designers, and if you give him $10 million, his ability to create a dynamic site that integrates data on the fly is beyond anything that I've ever seen in my life. And he says $10 million and a year's time, with a very small number of programmers, we can do anything you want. It's when you get just masses of programmers and a confused leadership in terms of what the product is supposed to deliver, that it costs a lot, that it takes forever, and it never performs, which is the nature of governance, is why governance and political interference in economics and in people's lives does not work. Anyway, they were right in opposing the basis of Obamacare, which is total and complete government control over the healthcare system.
And the economic system. I mean, it
right.
does both.
Right.
Because
yeah.
you're talking about people losing hours at work. You're talking about, you know, anytime you have forced mandates like that,
right.
you just send business into the tank. We, you know.
Right. So here is Bonner, who is the Speaker of the House. Here is his response now to the Tea Party, who was critical of this bipartisan bill, saying that, you know, to essentially erase the $85 billion of savings of sequester was a bad thing to do, and to give up on the fight to defund Obamacare was a bad thing to do. So he said, I thought it was my job and my obligation to stand up for conservatives here in Congress who want more deficit reduction. That was his first statement. Well, he just minimized deficit reduction by $85 billion a year. And so he's claiming that he stood up for deficit reduction when he did exactly the opposite thing. This is the nature of politics. What they say and what they do are the opposite of one another. There's a word for this. It's called hypocrite. To stand up for the work that Chairman Paul Ryan did, Bonner said, I think you're pushing our members. He's speaking to the Tea Party now. I think you're pushing our members in places where they do not want to be. And frankly, I just think that they've lost all credibility. Now, the Tea Party has lost most all credibility by standing up for the right things, and not across the board. There's a lot of, I mean, the Tea Partiers are wacko, right-wing Christian nuts. But so there's a lot of things they stand up for, and they're hugely pro-military. And so there's lots of things that's wrong with the Tea Party. But in this particular case, and as it relates to framing the issue on the last stand up and stand down against Obama and Obamacare, they were absolutely right. And brilliantly right. And courageously right. And as a result, they've lost all credibility. Bonner's correct. They have. And credibility is all there is in politics. And so Bonner is saying, I am not going to do the right thing if it's wrong for me. And he's saying all the rest of the Republican Party members here that are elected, we're not going to do the right thing because it'll make us unpopular too. And this gets you right back to the message of Yahweh and Yahusha. who said, if you choose the right choice, if you make the right decision, if you come to know me as I am, and if you choose to participate in my covenant consistent with its terms and conditions, and if you share with others what I've shared with you, you will be very unpopular. You will lose all credibility with everyone except me. And so I don't want to make an equation here between the Tea Party and the covenant, but I do want to make the connection between doing the right thing and losing credibility in today's world. It is extraordinarily difficult to maintain
today,
one's credibility and to tell the truth, to do the right thing.
They do not know, by and large, what's right from what's wrong.
No.
We're watching basically a takeover. I mean, we've witnessed it for the last, 10 years, just in pretty much an all-out fashion. A takeover by the government and a limit on freedoms that is unprecedented in this country.
And things called the Patriot Act and the Affordable Care Act provide the greatest assaults on personal freedom, as does the NSA surveillance program.
Well, I was looking at Drudge today, and I'd seen these before. On a Marine was demonstrating them. These robots now, and they're going to put tasers on them. They supposedly these robots are to help us help an old lady carry groceries, and this, and they look like dogs. They got one that runs 28.3 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's called the Cheetah.
Why not have the drones and the and these robots all monitoring everything that people do, and beyond monitoring it, since they all have lethal capability, ultimately controlling everyone's behaviors.
Well, you should see the professor at MIT that's into the robotics. He says, well, hopefully, we're not here to be funded by the Pentagon. Guess who's funding it? The Pentagon.
Of course. Yeah, it's a DARPA project.
And hopefully these will be used to help humanity rather than hurt them.
Oh, because the politicians that make such decisions, right, the politicians that make such decisions are so genuine, so moral. Now,
yeah, they would never make a drone as an example. They would never arm the drones that are over, watching America now, would they? I'm blown away at what's going on in this country.
And the apathy of Americans allowing this to happen to them. So few people standing up, continuing to wave the flag, to salute to the troops, to vote at elections, and to go through the world with their iPods in their ears, playing their favorite song, their video games, providing entertainment at night, whether it be drugs or alcohol, providing relief from reality.
By the troops are just being used, and when they get done with them, then they say, "Oh, we need to watch them."
Of course.
That's all part of the manuals now. They're the people that have to be watched because they could be what? Well, they could be terrorists. Now.
Well, guess why? Because they've been indoctrinated and taught how to kill.
Well, I understand that, and the point is the powers that be are aware that there are a certain percentage of people waking up to what they're up to.
Right.
And it's just,
But I want to make it obviously clear here, because of what we're talking about now, is that we are not proposing a revolution in America. I am absolutely not proposing that anybody pick up a weapon and attack or harm anyone. What I'm proposing here, and what Larry is proposing here, is that you open your mind and you become receptive to what's true. And you come to recognize that your government, your media, your military, the leaders economically are all working against you. And that there's a time that you make the decision to step away from these things, to disassociate from these things, to stop supporting these things, and you open your mind to the alternative. And the alternative is the covenant. And so all we're doing is trying to encourage you to recognize that the political system, the economic system, the militant military system and the religious systems that are influencing our world are all rotten to the core, and that you ought not believe what any of the advocates of any of these things have to say. And you ought to be willing to take the risk to invest the time to learn the truth, not only about them, but about the Creator God of the universe. That's what we're saying. We're not advocating a revolution because there is no solution for any country on this planet.
There's no hope. There's no hope.
There is no hope for America.
If America got up and pulled a revolt, what would happen is that the powers that be that fund all these giant military projects and everything else would simply use other countries to attack the U.S.
Actually, I don't think there's the United States is going to be destroyed, but it's not going to be destroyed by nation states. China is not going to attack the United States. Russia is not going to attack the United States. We only have one nation state that is a avowed enemy of the United States, and we made them that enemy, and that's Iran. But the rest of the world has no interest in attacking or invading the United States. And there is no nation that can be equipped with weapons where the nation is going to say, you know, I think we're going to squander our wealth by attacking and invading the United States.
True.
There is a religious doctrine that will attempt and will be successful at destroying the country, but all they're going to do is break it. And that's Islam. We'll be back in a moment. Come back to Shattering Myths. Conservative groups such as the Heritage Action for America, the Club for Growth, Freedom Works, and others immediately opposed the plan when it was released. So here is Bonner saying that he's acting on conservative ideals, working for a conservative agenda, and the most notorious conservative groups in America universally and vehemently opposed the plan that he supported. Why? Because there was nothing even remotely conservative about it. It simply said, let's continue to spend without restraint. So, this is what Bonner had to say, and this really gets to the heart of this particular issue. He's talking about the Tea Party. They pushed us into this fight to defund Obamacare. So he's admitting that the way I framed the issue, that this was all about trying to stop the most damaging piece of legislation maybe in American history, other than the formation of the Federal Reserve, but that was 100 years ago. They pushed us into this.
And also
to keep in mind that during the Great Society, with the creation of Medicare by Lyndon Baines Johnson, that was disastrous. So to say the most disastrous in American history is an overstatement. One of the most disastrous.
It's in the mix.
But it's the final nail
in the coffin.
Right. It stands
economic
right.
prosperity. And
but the coffin.
Made.
But the coffin was made 100 years ago.
Yeah, of course. But it'll make damn sure and certain that anybody on the lower rung of the economic scale will never get past that, or very, 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 very few of them.
And those at the top rung are going to be brought down, their lives, their wealth controlled. So they pushed us into this fight to defund Obamacare and to shut down the government. Now, they didn't push us into the fight to shut down the government. They pushed us into this fight, Mr. Bonner, to defund Obamacare, which needed to be done, which you didn't have the courage or the conviction to stand up against. He said, most of you know, my members know, by the way. It's not fellow congressmen know. It's not American congressmen know. It's my members know, as if he's in control of the Republican Party, the head potentate of Congress. That wasn't exactly the strategy that I had in mind. So he's saying the strategy to defund Obamacare wasn't his strategy. He had an entirely different strategy, and because the Tea Party's strategy was right, which is to defund Obamacare, but it wasn't his strategy, that it was therefore wrong. But if you recall, The day before the government reopened, one of the people that, one of these groups stood up and said, by the way, groups don't speak, people do. Well, we never really thought it would work. And so at that point, after quoting the line, Bonner said, "Are you kidding me?" and began to mock them.
Well, you know, we got a situation here where I don't think that most Americans are going to sign up for Obamacare at this point. I'm not. I'm just like voting. I'll
pay the penalty.
Put a line to the sand there.
Pay the penalty. Now, the problem with not having health insurance is that the way the system has been jury-rigged, because Medicare and Medicaid are the largest players now in the healthcare business, that are such large players in it, that they, by the monopoly that they have dictated that they're only going to pay 60% of the bills. So if a hospital and doctors and suppliers have costs that, let's say, are $1,000 for a particular procedure, the government's only going to pay $600 of it. So for the hospitals and the doctors and the suppliers of medical apparatus to stay in business, they have to then recoup the 40% the government is not paying from those who are paying, which means the business-sponsored plans and individual-sponsored plans. They have to pay more. And they do.
Well, I just read that something
Let me just finish this thought. But it's far worse if you're not insured. Because if you are insured, you're paying to rectify the government's monopolistic practices. But if you're uninsured and you want to buy that same service from the hospital, they will charge you more even than they charge the insurance company. And so if you don't have insurance, the problem is that your cost is out of sight higher than it would have been if you did have insurance. So the whole game now has been jury-rigged. So you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. Welcome to the brave new world.